While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud, a voice came that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So this feast day that we have today, the Feast of the Transfiguration, is a feast that's amazing in our church, but we only get to celebrate it every so often on a Sunday. In fact, the last time that this feast day came on a Sunday was in 2006. That was before I even had any sort of inkling of a decision to become a priest. That was a long, long time ago. 2006, 11 years. And so it's important that we look at the feast today. It's right here before you in this image. And so those of you who have the good seats who came to the front, you can see it. Those of you who chose the cheap seats, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle with that. Come forward at any time you want. Come forward and sit in these nice pews. There's plenty of room. This guy's got a whole row to himself. Okay? He'll be looking for some friends. Now, right here we have that image there. And this image is this very same image that I gave to my own grandmother right before she died, the year before she died. And after she died, they gave it back to me. And so I have it here. It's usually hanging in my room. Gaze upon it, because this is the mystery that we're celebrating today, painted by blessed Raphael, the same guy for whom that red Ninja Turtle is named after. Blessed Raphael did this. And it's an image in St. Peter's Basilica, and my favorite image in the whole of the Basilica. Every time I went into that Basilica, which is at least once a week, I would go there and gaze and meditate upon this image. Now, to understand what the mystery is that we're celebrating, it's kind of fun to look at why is that we celebrate it on August the 6th every year. Why? I can tell you one thing, that's not when it happened. Jesus wasn't transfigured on August 6th. In fact, he was probably transfigured sometime between the very beginning of March to the very beginning of April. Or sorry, the beginning of February, sometime in there. But what we celebrated on this day because it marks on August the 6th a time when the Christian warriors, the Christian army defeated the Muslim Turkish army in a time when they should have been defeated themselves. And so we celebrated this day to honor, it was the glory of God transfigured before them that was triumphant over the evils of the Muslims. So that's what is going on here, why we celebrate it then. But does anybody know what takes place 40 days after today? By the way, that's the 14th of September, just in case you're wondering. What do we celebrate on the 14th of September? The feast of the triumph or exaltation of the cross. We celebrated that 40 days afterwards. And we all know, hopefully, that the reason why we celebrate the triumph or the exaltation of the cross is because that's the day in history when St. Helen of the Cross, remember Constantine's mother, the Emperor Constantine, who legalized the Christian religion all throughout the Roman Empire, his mom discovered the actual wood of the cross on which our Savior gave his life, discovered it there in Jerusalem, and brought it back so that we can actually have those the very cross which Jesus died upon. Through miraculous things, we'll talk about that at another time. So that's why we celebrate it then. But we see God's divine mystery, his own divine control of all times and places and able to coordinate all things when we look at this. Because we have a tradition in the church, and the tradition in the church tells us when the actual transfiguration took place. It took place 40 days before Jesus died on the cross. 40 days before Jesus died on the cross, Jesus was transfigured so that his disciples would have the grace, the knowledge that God is present, so they wouldn't be destroyed by the scandal of the cross. That happened 40 days before. Jesus died upon the cross and won us salvation. 40 days. So it's 40 days that separate the actual crucifixion from the actual transfiguration. And it's the same thing that we have here within our celebrations. The triumph of the cross, which celebrates that great act which God gave his life for us. And the celebration of the transfiguration here on August the 6th. 40 days, showing that God can control all times, all places, all history, just like we talked about last week. Remember Romans chapter 8, verse 28, which says that we know that all things, including the sufferings, the difficulties, the hardships you go through in life, all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. And we know if you're here today in Sunday Mass, all those things are true for you in your life. And so that leads us into the transfiguration that we're having here today, this feast day. But I'm going to break it down for you, even though it's a simple feast day, what it all means so that we can experience it within our lives. Transfiguration, you can see it right here. Jesus is transfigured, revealing his infinite glory within. But how did it happen? You see, Jesus took his favorite three apostles, his favorite three disciples, and led them up the mountain, Peter, James, and John. He led the three of them up the mountain to pray. And what did God do? God sent two of his closest friends. God the Father sent two of his closest friends, St. Moses, who is here on my side, holding the Ten Commandments, and St. Elijah, who's on the other side, holding the book of the prophecies. And there he was transfigured before them in his luminous glory, where God was totally present in that moment. And what our Lord is bringing for us today is that Jesus was given this grace so that his disciples would be prepared for that scandal of the cross, so that they wouldn't lose faith despite losing their Lord in this horrific way that Jesus was crucified. Moses and Elijah, what they do is they represent for us both the law and the prophets. See, Moses represents the law because what did he give? He gave us the Ten Commandments, right? So that we could know God's will, which is for us to give ourselves in self-sacrificial suffering. First to God, secondly, to our neighbors. That's what the Ten Commandments are all about, right? Well, St. Elijah over there represents all the prophets because he's the greatest of all the prophets. Why? Because he suffered the greatest of all the prophets did. In fact, we know from 2 Kings that St. Elijah, what happened to him was he got so depressed one day after being defeated and demoralized that he ran away and said, God, why don't you just take my life and kill me? Because I can't do this. Your people are so harsh to me. I can tell you one thing. I felt that before, even as your pastor. It's hard being a prophet. But St. Elijah represented that. Because what the prophets do? The prophets proclaim the Messiah and his coming glory. So this whole event here was to show that Jesus fulfills both all of the law and all the prophecies in himself. Because what did Jesus do? Jesus was 100% obedient to God's will. He gave himself in total self-sacrifice for us upon the cross. But also he fulfills the prophecies because all the prophecies were directed as him to reveal who God was. And Jesus is God revealed for each of us. We don't have to look for another prophet. We have Christ himself. So we see that everything is fulfilled in this great feast that we have today. Isn't that amazing? Self-sacrificial love is God's will for each of us. Well, when the Father reveals who Jesus is, transfigures him, he says something. Look in your text. What does he say? What does Jesus say about himself? What does the Father say about him? He says, "This is my beloved Son." And what the second reading points out for us in St. Peter that Miss Jordan gave for us so well, says, "The one in whom I am well pleased." So what that should do, brothers and sisters, that should show us who Jesus actually is. Jesus revealing himself says, this is what I am. I am self-giving love. And therefore, when the Father looks at the apostles, who represent us, by the way, what does the Father say to them in response? He turns to the apostles and he says this, escúchale, listen to him, put attention on him. And so that's where our attention in the Mass is supposed to be located upon, right? It's supposed to be located directly on Jesus Christ, his very person, all it is that we do. But practically, how do we do that? How do we live that out? How do we put our focus on Jesus and just listen to him? Well, the first way that we do that is by observing Jesus' own example. The example of Christ, to let his life shine forth in us. As Christians, what we're supposed to be is mirrors of Jesus Christ, just reflecting his glory, his transfigured glory that we celebrate today. Now realize that's what we get as our mission from our baptism. From our baptism, because Jesus' baptism also mirrors our baptism. What happened at Jesus' baptism, remember? What happened is that the skies parted. The Spirit descended upon Jesus, just like the Spirit descends upon us when we are received in baptism. And a voice from heaven called out, just like it calls out for each one of us at our baptism, put attention to this, listen to this, listen to the Father. This is what he said to you and to me, to each of us on our baptism. He said, "This one is my beloved Son. With him, I am well pleased." Bien placido. So our Lord says the same thing to us, brothers and sisters, and we need to listen to it. We need to live that out because it will change our lives. God the Father looks upon each and every one of us and he says, you're my beloved Son. You're my beloved daughter. And no matter what goes on in your life, not because you're going to be something great, but because you're mine, with you I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased because you're mine. You have my image in you. And don't ever forget that. Listen to him. So that's where our lives are supposed to be, brothers and sisters. Our lives are supposed to be that our baptismal identity is what? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our identity. Jesus Christ is who we're supposed to be and to live. That's why we're called Christians, which means what? Little tiny Christs. Little tiny Christs. That's who you and I are supposed to be all throughout the whole of our lives. Which means this, how do we live it out? We live out our baptismal identity, which we have in Christ, by what? By living a life focused on others, not on ourselves. By daily giving our lives in service first to God, and then to other people. Then to other people. That's what Jesus says fulfills all the law and the prophets in himself. So that means, like we talked about last week, not taking life from others, not stealing life from others through gossip, which is a demonic act, but rather giving life to others through encouraging them, through strengthening them, especially our struggling brothers and sisters who are struggling to live out this life. Especially, that's why we pray for our brothers who are there, the broken halos who are in prison right now. We pray for them because they are struggling upon that path. Christ died for them just as much as he died for us. And sadly, brothers and sisters, I think they know it better than sometimes we do. They know that. So giving our life away is the only way that you and I can joyfully live out the image of Jesus within our lives. The number one thing that we need to know today and to take from this Mass is that when God the Father looks at you and me, is that he says, mine, my beloved Son, my beloved daughter, the one in whom I'm well pleased. And we got to listen to him. Listen to him. So how do we do that every day, though? How do we listen to God? The Father says, listen to him. I got to ask myself, even as a priest, am I listening to Jesus? Am I listening to him? Are you listening to him? That means yes in our prayer, but even more so, when we leave the four walls of this church, are we listening to Jesus? Are we listening to him? In the everyday things of our lives, why wouldn't we want to listen to Jesus? Can you think of any reasons? I see some people who are smiling. You know exactly what's coming. Yeah. We don't want to listen to Jesus, and this is the reason why. Because he might say something I don't want to hear. Right? He might say that, right? Because we aren't God. God is different than us. We're not fully converted. We're sinful. We start Mass saying what? Lord, I am not worthy. We say, Lord, forgive me. Through my fault, through my most grievous fault, we know we're not there. But do we? Do we act that way? Oftentimes we don't listen to Jesus because he might say something that we don't want to hear. But we're listening all the time to other things. Anywhere we put our attention, brothers and sisters, wherever it is, we're listening to that thing and letting it enter into us. It's important to know that. Because out of the billions of things that we could be putting our attention to, that we could be listening to, watching TV, listening to the radio, reading particular books or magazines, or fiddling on our internet devices and whatnot, we're listening to that. But out of all those options that we have, why do we choose the things that we choose? Have you thought about that? Why do we choose the things that we choose? This is why. We choose the things that we're listening to because we want to choose to listen to people and to things that agree with us, that affirm us and our beliefs, that the ones that we already have, right? We don't want to be challenged. We want to stay as we are. So that's why some of us will listen to Fox News, right? Why? Because we're conservatives. We listen to Fox News because we're conservatives and we don't want to have to filter through other things. We just want the news and we don't want to have to be challenged every moment with a different ideology, right? That's why some of us listen to MSNBC, right? Because we're liberals. And because of that, we just want to listen to a liberal mindset so that we're not challenged in these areas, right? That's why we do. We let those things enter into us because they don't challenge us in these different ways. But the question is, do we treat our relationship with God in that way? Do we listen to God only when He agrees with us? We say, Lord Jesus, I will listen to You. I will follow You so long as You don't go over there in that area. So long as You don't mess with my addiction to going to bingos. So long as You don't listen, so long as You don't touch that thing where I really like to have a few drinks every now and then. So long as You don't affect the way that I watch TV or the movies that I go to or whatever it is. So long as You don't go there, Jesus, I'm with You. We put boundaries on our love with Christ, our following of Him. But what that is that ruins our relationship with God because we need to listen to Jesus, to listen to God. And you know how we do that best? The easiest way to listen to God? It's pretty obvious. Open up your books. Read His Word. Because that's God speaking directly to us. Not to some people way back 2,000 years ago or 8,000 years ago. He speaks to us through His Word because it's living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces the dividing of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. So what our Lord does there is He wants us to listen to Him. So if you go to daily Mass, guess what? You're listening to God's Word every day. And over the course of 2 years, you'll go through the whole of the Scriptures once. Pretty awesome. If you just come on Sundays, yeah, you're getting God's Word in you one time a week. But is that sufficient? Is it sufficient to make it through the rest of our lives? To be able to just listen to Him once a week? Every day we're being influenced by others, by the things that we put our attention to. So if we watch TV, what we're doing is we're letting that enter into us. And we got to ask ourselves, what are we paying more attention to? If I spend an hour just on Mass on Sundays listening to God, and I weigh that against the 30 or 40 hours a week that I listen to the everything else, to the TV, to the radio, to whatever, what's going to be more filling me? What am I going to be living more like? How am I going to be acting outside? Brothers and sisters, if you're asking the question, why am I depressed today? Or why am I having struggles? Or why are my family relationships going wrong? Got to ask the question, to whom am I listening to? To broken lives on the internet or on my TV programs? Or am I listening to the wholeness of life in Jesus Christ? Which am I putting more attention to? So that's what our Lord is asking us to do today. To ask us to listen to His very Word. To put attention to the things that He has. We can't just live off the residuals of one Mass 1 hour a week on Sundays. Because that breeds division and divisiveness and hardship within our lives. If we're only paying attention to our liberal or conservative news programs, but those are the things that are going to cause us to go against one another in the ways that liberals and conservatives go against one another. We need to fill ourselves up only with Christ. That's the only thing that we're going to be judged on in the end of life. Did I listen to Him? Did I mirror my life based on Him? And so today, brothers and sisters, if we want joy, if we want happiness, if we want fulfillment, if we want healing within our souls and within our bodies to know God better, we got to listen to Him. Follow what Jesus says. Follow what the Father speaks about us, about Jesus, because you are His beloved son, His beloved daughter, and He does take pleasure in you. The way we live it out and have that encouraged continually within us, just listen to it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.